The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Alleluia! Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia!
So Christians throughout the world greeted one another this morning. With them we join in joyous hymns and plentiful alleluias. Today we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, the success of our Savior. This is the feast of victory for our God. The Lamb who was slain has begun his reign, and so we join in praising him with loud alleluia. The contrast between our joyful celebration and the first Easter morning is rather striking. Luke writes of the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee. They had believed in Jesus and had long provided for him and his disciples out of their means. They hadn't had the time late Friday afternoon when Jesus died to prepare his body. On the Sabbath they had rested according to the commandment. But now at their first opportunity, even before the sun had risen Sunday morning, they were on the way out to his tomb. Luke doesn't tell us why they were up so early, but I imagine it must have been because they couldn't sleep. Jesus, their beloved teacher, whom they had hoped would be the one to redeem Israel, was dead. He had been rejected by the Jewish leaders, who had handed him over to be executed by the Romans. These women were crushed, but they would honor their Lord in his death. The mistreatment his body had endured on Friday would not continue in the tomb. With love and care, they would anoint his dead body with ointments and cover it with spices. They would see that his corpse was properly prepared and respectfully laid in the tomb. When they came to the place where his body had been laid, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't immediately say, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." They didn't know what to think. The absence of Jesus' body perplexed them. What they saw, or perhaps better, what they didn't see, left them in confusion. They were bewildered and mystified. As they were standing there at a loss of what to think, two men in dazzling apparel were there, that is, two angels. Now fear was added on top of that perplexity and grief. But as the women bowed their faces to the ground, the angel said, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day be raised. Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" That's a good question. But of course, the women weren't seeking someone who was alive. They were seeking Jesus who had died. They had seen it with their own eyes, and they hadn't been mistaken. So this question didn't make any sense. But before they could say, "We seek Jesus who died," the angels continued, "He is not here, but he has risen." The women could see for themselves that Jesus' body wasn't there. But nothing in their experience could have prepared them for that last phrase. To be sure, Jesus had raised a widow's son at Nain, the daughter of Jairus in or near Capernaum, and Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, at Bethany. They might have seen one or two of those miracles. Certainly they had heard about them. But what the angel said to them was something completely outside of anything they had ever heard or imagined. That the dead Jesus should raise himself? As they reflected on it later on, perhaps they recalled Jesus' words from John 10. "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." In hindsight, it's quite clear, but I'm sure grief and fear would have had me just as confused as the women on that first Easter morning. However those women might have received the angel's initial question or their first statement, what the angel said next changed their thinking. "Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." At least three times Jesus had spoken of these things. He had told his disciples repeatedly that he would be put to death and that he would rise on the third day. The women, Luke writes, remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. The women remembered. They had heard what Jesus said. Now they had an explanation in his own words for what they saw in the tomb, or rather, what they didn't see. Of course the corpse wouldn't be there. He had said he would rise on the third day, and he had. The test of a prophet of the Lord is that he can only be a true prophet if the word he has spoken comes to pass, comes true. The women had believed in Jesus when he was among them. They had followed him and devoted their possessions to providing for him. Now they knew that they hadn't misplaced their trust. He was the one the Lord had given to redeem Israel. He was the Christ, the promised Messiah. Their hope had not been in vain, had not ended with his death. Luke records records that those who heard the women's testimony, the 11 and all the rest, didn't believe them, at least not yet. Their words seemed to them an idle tale, Luke writes. But Peter went to the tomb to investigate. And when he saw the linen cloths by themselves, that is, no longer wrapped around Jesus' dead body, he went home marveling at what had happened. What he believed had happened, Luke doesn't explain. But it would seem that he was at least beginning to believe that Jesus had risen as he said. Before long, there wouldn't be any room for doubt for Peter. For before the sun went down that day, Jesus would appear to him personally. Our text this morning would have us to understand without any question that Jesus truly died as he said, and that he then rose again on the third day, just as he had said he would. Those women weren't credulous, believing anything. They had to be convinced, and so did the disciples. And they were, through the angel's words, and by many convincing proofs. As the days went on, Jesus appeared to them again and again, letting them see him and touch him, eating with them, above all, teaching them from the scriptures that all these things had to happen to him, that it was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory. The effect of Jesus' resurrection, we hear from St. Paul. Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Jesus' resurrection is the proof that the Father accepted his sacrifice for our sins. For Jesus' sake, God declares you righteous. Death is the proof that we share in Adam's sin. Unless the Lord returns first, it is certain that you will all die. But because Christ is risen, it is just as certain that you will be made alive again at his coming. The hymn writer put it very well. Jesus, my Redeemer, lives. Likewise, I to life shall waken. He will bring me where he is. Shall my courage then be shaken? Shall I fear? Or could the head rise and leave his members dead? No. Too closely I am bound by my hope to Christ forever. Faith's strong hand the rock has found, grasped it, and will leave it never. Even death now cannot part from its Lord, the trusting heart. Then take comfort and rejoice. For his members Christ will cherish. Fear not, you will hear his voice. Dying, you will never perish. For the very grave is stirred when the trumpet's blast is heard. Laugh to scorn the gloomy grave, and at death no longer tremble. He, the Lord who came to save, will at last his own assemble. They will go their Lord to meet, treading death beneath their feet. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And because he is risen, you too shall rise. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.